Testament reading for the third Sunday in Advent is written in Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised, and every mountain and hill be made low. The rough ground shall become smooth, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, and the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing. Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ describes John the Baptist as being among the greatest men ever born of a woman. The greatest. Yet John is one of those preachers who is both loved and hated. People throng to him like no other prophet. The prophet Isaiah not only prophesies the coming of the Lord, but also the coming of John the Baptist, the forerunner. the voice of one crying in the wilderness. When John was a baby, his father Zechariah, a priest, prophesied, "You, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins." And by the way, those are Holy Scripture words that are found in the Holy Liturgy of the Office of Morning Prayer, used, practiced in confessional Lutheran congregations. John the Baptist is a preacher. He's a messenger of God's word, one commanded to speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. But the word of God that John preaches is a double-edged sword. Not everyone is joyful with either the message or the messenger. For as Isaiah prophesies, valleys are to be raised, mountains are to be cut down, the crooked will be made straight, and the rough will be smoothed out. So how do you think the mountains, the crooked and the rough spots, receive such a handling from God? Do you think they're overjoyed to be cut down, made straight, and smoothed out? The imagery is to be applied to sinful, pride-filled mankind. Those humbled, more than exalted, will naturally be thankful to John or any preacher for raising them up, while the person who prefers to live in their arrogant, presuming of righteousness and works, who is brought low, will of course not be thrilled with John or any John-like preacher for cutting him down to size. While multitudes came to John for a holy baptism of repentance, there were also those who sought to silence him. Of course, the object of John's preaching, the one who came after him, was received in the same way. The humble, the sin-sick, poor, in spirit, heard good news of forgiveness and received new life through faith in Christ crucified for them. Whereas the arrogant and the sin-secure heard judgment and received their condemnation, having missed the very gospel, the very incarnated gospel that was right in front of them, just as it would happen with Judas Iscariot. Isaiah's announcement that the warfare has ended, that iniquity has been pardoned, that the beaten down are to be raised up, is the gospel, which is the forgiveness of sins through Christ crucified for you. It's the greatest news in the history of man, the most blessed tidings to be heard since the fall of mankind in Eden and to the end of time. And though John the Baptist was one of the greatest men ever born of a woman, he decreed sisters in Christ. If one of the greatest of all prophets, preachers, and men born of women, the cousin of the Lord, the forerunner himself, needs sustenance by the preaching of the gospel, what do you think you need to hear regularly in order to have faith strengthened and sustained? What do your husbands, wives, children, and grandchildren need to hear on a regular basis to keep them out of the clutches of the evil one, to save them while in the dungeon of their trials and tribulations? John the Baptist's God-created faith was dependent upon the Word of God, as is the faith he created in you. And what is that Word? How does Jesus bolster such faith that resides in resistant, doubting, weak flesh? Jesus instructs John's disciples to go and tell. Jesus sends John's disciples back with his words of good news. Tell John the things which you hear and see. Jesus explains to them what is happening is an undoing of the fall. New creation has begun. Blindness, leprosy, deafness, and even death itself are being undone. The once hopeless poor are hearing good news, and God is blessing those who hear the gospel, those who hear it without being offended, without reacting in arrogance or pride, but rather by the grace of God, in repentance and joy at being rescued and given new life. And the one who is upset at such law and gospel news, such dying and rising news, is the old man who must be put to death, that the new life would come forth by faith through the gospel alone. This is the law, gospel, truth of God that rings true no matter what your circumstances. Does it absolutely remove you from your trials and tribulations? In a sense, no. Because you remain in this fallen world, in your fallen flesh, with the devil always about you. But in a sense, yes, it does remove you. Because it is in Christ Jesus that you truly live. By faith alone. That faith is sustained by God's Word. Which John the Baptist was dependent on a lifeline of bearers of good news from the lips of Jesus. Much does that reveal how you, dear friends, are completely reliant on being where the Word of God is located as well. Where the Word of God is attached to water. Where the Word of God is pronounced, proclaimed, preached, and taught by men in the office of the Holy Ministry and administered for you Christians to eat and to drink in confession of unity in God's doctrine. John is not only the forerunner of Jesus, he is the prototype, New Testament pastor, the shepherd whose disciples are to be Jesus' disciples, the preacher whose proclamation is that he must decrease while the Lord Jesus Christ must increase. The one who holds up the Lord in his body and blood while announcing the truth of Christ's words, Lord. is indeed a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries. The steward is not the master. He's never above the master. He is a servant. He is a manager. He is there to make sure that the master's gifts of forgiveness are used properly and accounted for with propriety. As God's word proclaims, it is required of stewards that one be found faithful. A steward of the mysteries of the kingdom of God is not faithful if he is not proclaiming the word of God with both edges of the sword. And the people of God, the hearers of the word, are not faithful if they are not receiving both edges of the word of God and taking heed of it. There is good news for you right here and right now, dear people. As the children sang, Savior of the nation has come. He has come. And he continues to come, and he will come again. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah has to say about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. These are not words of thundering judgment, because they are not words of law. They are words of gospel. The strong hand of the Lord, and his arm that shall rule for him, is Christ Jesus, who brings the forgiveness of sins. His reward is with him, and his work before him. Because his reward is the new life gained by his work alone, accounted to you as righteousness by faith through his work alone. Just as he did with John the Baptist, who was left in his dungeon of anguish with fostered faith, fearing, loving, and trusting in the Lord above all things, Christ continues to bring you to hear and to see. For you hear in his divine service, I forgive you all of your sins. You hear, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. You hear, this is my body, which is given for you, and my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. You hear, O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world. He also brings you to see in his divine service the sign of the cross at the beginning of the service, a gesture hated by the devil, because it is the ultimate reminder of the victory of Jesus over sin and death. It is a reminder of in whom it is that you have new life. You see or hear water poured over children and adults in a miraculous proclamation of victory against the evil one. You see a man in the stead of Christ forgiving sins. You see bread and wine that have become the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the word of God. And you see your fellow sinners kneeling around the altar, being transformed as a family in a confession of faith that professes unity in doctrine and in the miraculous power of the gospel. What you receive in this place is always aimed, even though the law has to be proclaimed both edges of the sword, even though it is aimed to for John himself. He does it for you. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf